Good afternoon. My name is Brian Schlottman, and I will be speaking to you over the course of the next 10 podcasts on the subject of administration and leadership. Again, that's administration and leadership. I am the executive pastor of a church in Lawrenceville, Georgia. It's called Lawrenceville Church of God, and we are located in the Atlanta area in the United States of America. We are a church of about 1,000 people. We have over 33 different nations that attend our church, or nationalities that attend our church. And we have a wonderful time on during our services. The power of God moves in a mighty and miraculous way. And I'm very pleased and honored to serve as one of the pastors at our church. I am 39 years old. My education is in organizational management and music, so that makes for an odd combination from time to time. I actually have a wife and two children, a 16-year-old and a 14-year-old, both that I'm very proud of, and do very well for themselves, and very proud of my two young men. I have a dog as a pet, and a home in Buford, Georgia. And God has blessed me, and I thank Him for that. And my interests include leadership development and organizational structure in churches. I believe that a lot of times people in ministry, pastors and those that work in ministry, take for granted the idea that there is organizational structures that work and that do not work. We tend to try to derive everything from Scripture, which rightly so we should. We ought to pull things about life and organization from structure. But so many times we miss out on the things that we can look around us, even in nature, and see that there are some things about organizational structure that we can borrow from other organizations, successful organizations, and implement it into the church. And so one of my personal missions is to look and try to find what works well for churches, what's biblically based that we can do in our local churches and in our local organizations and nonprofit ministries to be more effective for in the call that God's given us. So my basic talk will be on leadership and administration over the course of this class. I want to give you some basic information. If you need to contact me, please do so by visiting my website at www.schlottman.org. That's www. My last name dot org. So to spell my last name, it's SCHLOTTMANN.ORG. And if you don't know what my last name is, it should be spelled somewhere on some of your materials or on the description of this class. So if you need to contact me, I would love to hear from you. Exchange information, answer questions, hear what you have to think about some of these subjects as well. www.schlottman.org, and you can get my email address from there. You can follow me on Twitter. You can follow my blogs as well. So blessings to you, and let me have a word of prayer with you right now as we begin. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to pour into these men and women from all over the world that certainly will be listening to this podcast. God, I pray that you would just minister to them, open their minds, and God, I pray that you touch your servant today. I pray that everything that's said will come from the throne room of God, and that it will be ordained for the ears that'll be listening to it. And I pray that it would stretch them, God, and that you would use these listeners in some mighty powerful way to do your work. God, I pray that they would have effective organizations for your glory in Christ's name. Amen. Today I'll be talking basically on one subject, visions, missions, and core values, visions, missions, and core values. And more specifically, vision statements, mission statements, and core value statements. Organizations, when we think of organizations and churches and such, they will only grow to the capacity of the administrative processes that support them. The challenge that we so often have in churches and in ministry is that we naturally want to expand and grow, but we often don't want to change what we do as a church or an organization to accommodate growth. I remember when I married my wife 17 years ago, life was pretty simple. We were in love. I mean, we were 21, 22 years of age, and we loved each other tremendously. And we thought we could take on the world. And we loved God, and God was beginning us in ministry. And I had a very simple job, and I had a simple life. And in fact, I remember we had rented a small one-bedroom apartment, and life was good. And we were content. You know, we didn't have a lot of material goods. God was faithful to us. And we didn't have a lot of things, but we were content. But after a short time, we found out that we were going to have a baby. In fact, within our first month, my wife conceived our first child. And it was quite a shock for a young man that didn't have a lot, and that was just beginning his life and beginning his career. And it kind of took me for surprise. And so we were excited, of course, but I knew that things in our life were going to have to change. Oh, we were excited about the growth of our family. And so when my oldest son, Matthew, arrived, life began to change for us. In fact, you know, a year and a half later, my second son was born. My wife and I were finding out that the simple life that we were enjoying, that we once had, was no longer as simple as we remembered it. We were beginning to grow. In fact, as I remember now, you know, the way we shopped for groceries changed, and the way we paid our bills changed. How we lived life actually became more complicated. As a matter of fact, as the years progressed, you know, our finances became more complicated. And I began my own business. We bought a home. Things were not as simple anymore. God has blessed my family, and we've grown. But the way we administrated our home and how we led our home had to change dramatically. You know, when we first got started, very little communications was needed between me and my wife about what groceries to buy, what bills to pay, because we didn't have very many obligations. But as we began to grow and expand, we begin to realize that there was a greater need for communications, and some of the things and the structures and processes in the home that we take for granted became very critical for us. And today's office of church administrator demands the same type of thing. Demands the same type of thing. I want to talk to you about vision statements, mission statements, and core values, mostly out of this idea that in order to have proper systems within an organization and have proper programs and things that function well one with another, everybody has to be on the same page. You can imagine an organization with one leader, perhaps one pastor, and perhaps 20 people or 20 members. It's very easy in a family of that size and in a church of that size for the pastor to cast vision or to get things done. It can be he can communicate within 5 minutes before a sermon about announcements and get everybody on the same page. But we found in our church, where we have over 1,000 people from over 33 different nations, that it's not just as simple as making an announcement to pull everybody together. In fact, we needed guiding statements and things that brought our body together through various different means, different systems. And the most important thing, one of the first things that an organization or a church must have, is a vision statement, mission statement, and core values. And I'm going to go into detail in this lesson about what each of these statements are. Vision statements. Let's talk about vision statements. Proverbs 29:18 says that where there is no vision, the people are unrestrained, but happy is he who keeps the law. Again, Proverbs 29:18, where there is no vision, the people are unrestrained, but happy is he who keeps the law. So a vision statement, if I were to describe it, if I were to define it, it's what we want to see ourselves in the future as an organization or a church. You know, when I was a young man, I had a dream to be a robotics engineer. And when I was 5 and 6 years old, I used to play with an Erector set and toys that were robots, and I would take them apart and learn how they worked, and I would put them back together again. And that was a small a childhood dream of mine. Even going up to age 13, 14, 15, I had this vision in my mind of what I wanted to be when I grew up. Many of you, as you grew up through as a child, had a vision of what you wanted to be in the future. Of course, in my personal life, after I dedicated my life to Christ, I had a new vision, and God placed in my heart a new vision for ministry and His service. But the vision statement is a statement that describes where your church or organization or ministry wants to be. A vision statement, there are three things I want to say about a vision statement. The first thing is this: a vision statement should be short and easy to recite. You know, a vision statement is much like an artist's rendering of a new construction project. It paints a picture in the mind of the reader. When you see a project rendering of a new building, a home or a shopping center, you can understand that it doesn't exist, but yet in your mind, you can envision it. Your church's vision statement should do the same. You can imagine when a company goes out to build a new shopping center or building, the engineer will produce a model in a rendering, and he'll also produce blueprints. That is like a vision statement. It paints the picture of where you want to be. The second thing about vision statements is this: your vision statement should be God-sized. It should be ambitious. It should be much larger than yourself. You know, in Genesis chapter 17, verse 4, Abraham had received a God-sized vision. God began to speak to Abraham about him being the father of many nations. And this was something that was overly ambitious for Abraham, because we know he was old and he had no children. And so the vision that he had was much larger than himself. And the reason why your vision statement should be God-sized is because it brings glory to God. You know, in your organization, when in your church or ministry, when you have a God-sized vision, it brings honor and glory to Him when it is then fulfilled. And then the last statement about the vision statements is that it should be exciting. You know, I look at John 3:16 as a classic description of what God's vision statement is for mankind. John 3:16, you know the scripture. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That excites me. That's the kind of statement that just gets my blood to boil. It sounds so epic, so large, so wonderful. That God loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That is God's vision. That's what he wants to see for mankind. It has not happened yet, but nonetheless, that's the vision statement. One day, this vision statement will be fulfilled. It's what God's eyes saw. The second thing I want to talk about is mission statements. If a vision statement is like an artist's project rendering, a mission statement then is much like the actual set of blueprints. It says, this is how we'll accomplish the vision. The statement should start to describe your operations and provide a snapshot of the activities of your department, ministry, or church. And in our context, it's probably the more important statement that you develop. So I'll spend just a little bit more time on it. And you know, the mission statement should flow directly from the vision statement. It is the implementation of the vision and outlines what must happen to realize the vision. And there are five properties of the mission of the mission statement that I want to share. The mission statement should elicit an emotional, motivational response. You know, when you read a mission statement of an organization, it should motivate you to action. Even the way it's written should push you towards action. You know, when I look at God's vision, he's basically describing what he wants to see. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. I don't see any action in that. I mean, it's describing what God wants, but when you look at a mission statement, that comes from God's great commission. In fact, what was his great commission to the disciples before he left? He said to go out into all the world, baptizing people, preaching the gospel. He gave specific things that people were supposed to do. Now that elicited a motivational response to go into all the ends of the earth. That pushed us towards action. That was God's mission statement that flowed from his vision of John 3:16. So the mission statement should elicit an emotional, motivational response. The second thing about mission statements is this, that your mission statement should be easily understood. It should be easy to understand. When I look at the Great Commission, it was very basic. It had about four or five different things that we needed to do to go into all the ends of the earth. So he talked about the scope and he talked about what needed to happen. And it was very easy to understand. The third thing is this, a mission statement can be easily transferred into individual action. When you look at the mission statement for God in the Great Commission, it wasn't just a mission statement for a church or an organization. Certainly it was that, but as an individual, I can read that scripture, and if I didn't know anything else about what I was supposed to do as a Christian, that would be enough information for me to transfer that into individual action for myself. Then the fourth property of a mission statement is that it has the properties of a broad, measurable, attainable goal. The idea is that your mission statement ought to be able to be measured. You know, where a vision statement isn't necessarily measurable. As a matter of fact, you know, whether or not you actually complete the vision or see it fulfilled is not really as critical as measuring the mission statement. And what do I mean by that? If you look at God's vision, that none should perish but have everlasting life out of John 3:16. Honestly, if we ask ourselves, is that true? Is that going to happen? The truth is, no, it's not. Because there are people that have already perished, and unfortunately, people will continue to perish because of their refusal to accept Christ as their personal Savior. So, you know, even God's own vision, his vision for mankind, is not 100% fulfillable. Yet his mission is. His mission, the great commission that he gave us in Scripture to go into all the ends of the earth, baptizing, making disciples and baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Those are things that we can do and that are measurable. We can measure what areas of the earth we've gone to. We can measure how many disciples we've made. So it does provide us a way to track progress, and a mission statement for your church or organization ought to be able to do this. For example, let me share with you the vision and mission statement of our local congregation, our local organization for our church. Our vision statement says that it's the vision of Lawrenceville Church of God to be a community of many ministers in many locations, reaching thousands of people weekly in Gwinnett County and beyond with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, that's our vision. That's what we would love to see, and that's what we feel like God has placed on our hearts to become one day. Are we there yet? Are we truly a community of many ministers in many locations? Not yet. Not yet. but we want to be there one day. So then our mission statement, which defines how we organize as a church and what we do in our local church, says this: it is our mission to perpetuate Christian leadership, to birth need-centered ministries, and to cultivate a worship experience that inspires Christian leaders and provides fellowship for Christian families. So basically, just a couple of core ideas in our mission statement to develop Christian leaders. That's one of the main arms of what our church is, of what our church does, is we develop leaders and the leadership culture. So we can measure that. We can measure how many elders or how many deacons that we've trained and placed into service. Ministry innovation. We can measure how many new ministries that we begin. We can measure that. We can measure how many people are in our fellowship. So if you take our mission statement and break it down, you can measure each component of that. And not only that, if we do these four things that are described in our mission statement, develop Christian leaders, create innovative ministries, create experiences that inspire people into fellowship. If we do those things, we know that we will develop a culture and a community of many ministers that'll eventually be in many locations. And through time and through God's favor, we will begin to see many people saved, thousands of people weekly in Gwinnett County and beyond. In the same way that if we can fulfill the Great Commission, that measurable, attainable thing that God has charged us with, if we can do that, then we will see his vision fulfilled, that none would perish but have everlasting life. The last thing I want to say about mission statements is that it should not be more than three or four sentences long. Nothing more than just about three or four sentences. The thing about a mission statement is that it ought not to be two or three pages of information. It ought to be just a very short description of three or four major components that your organization operates in or does on a day-to-day basis that can then be taken by individuals and say, you know, how do I shape my ministry or my department or what I do in this organization to fulfill this mission? The mission statement is a way for to bring everybody under one umbrella operationally. I'm going to end my talk here. Sometimes I describe some of these types of talks in leadership and administration as taking a drink of water from a fire hydrant. You have water coming at you at 100 miles an hour, and you're doing your best just to get one small drink out of it. I gave you today just a brief description of what a vision statement is and of what mission statements are. I'm going to save core values for my next talk, so please check that out. I will place some notes on what I talked about today on my website at www.schlottman.org. That's www.schlottman.org. And look for a class tab at the top, and from there, you should find notes for our first talk. I want to have a word of prayer with you before I let you go, and I will see you in our next session. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for these students and these men and women that have placed their lives in your hands. God, I pray, Lord, that you begin to speak to them about vision and mission. And Lord, begin to expand their knowledge through their class experience in this class, as well as the many others that they'll be partaking in. God, I pray, prosper their homes, prosper their families, prosper their churches and their organizations as they fulfill the call that you've placed on their life. In Christ's name, amen. I want you to do me a favor. You do have some homework. I would like for you to formulate a vision statement and mission statement, a vision statement and mission statement, and email it to me. I want to see how you're formulating your vision, and I want to exchange some information back and forth and kind of critique those. And again, your vision statement should describe what you want to be. Your mission statement describes how you're going to get there. So take a stab at it. Just give it a good effort. create a 1 or 2 sentence vision statement and a 3 to 4 sentence mission statement and email those to me. God bless you, and we'll talk to you soon.